Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Cold Drinks, Questions in Christ. My name is Father Parker Love. I'm a priest for the Archdiocese and of Regina, and this is my podcast, the podcast where I get to ask questions about whatever I want to ask questions about, and usually trying to explore a book, TV show, or movie, and figuring out how that content relates to my Catholic faith, how I can justify all the hours and minutes and too much time I spend consuming culture, consuming media, instead of praying, how I can make it sound sort of Catholic in my head and in my imagination. So I also drink a beer while doing it, hence the beer opening sound as the opening. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of today, for the gift of your presence in our lives, for the gift of your great love. We ask, Lord, that you come even more fully into our hearts so that we might know that love more deeply, even more fully into our minds so that we might know your will more deeply, and through that knowledge and love be empowered to serve you greater in every moment of our lives. We ask, Lord, in a special way for you to bless this podcast, to bless all who listen to it, that you help each and every one of us to hear what you want us to hear, say what you want us to say, and do what you want us to do now and in every moment of our lives. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome again, everyone. This week, I am drinking Parallel 49's Schadenfreude, which is, I presume, a pun on like Schadenfreude or whatever that word is that it sounds like. It's a pun on whatever word it sounds like. Anyway. It's got a jack-o'-lantern on the front, and it is a pumpkin Oktoberfest beer, but it's also purple, and we are now in the season of purple. That is Advent, not Lent, which is another color of purple, another liturgical season where we wear purple. But they're a pretty tasty beer, unlike the other pumpkin-flavored beer I had, which was awful. and look at this. We've carved out a pumpkin Oktoberfest even Ichabod Crane would love. That's the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. This hearty, malty lager is warmed by the mighty pumpkin and lifted with notes of cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice and ginger. So it's kind of maybe a Christmas beer. I wonder if it's not still available. Anyway, it's actually pretty decent. It is a little sweeter than I typically like. This nutmeg comes out quite strongly in it. But I'm liking it. Yeah. And I'm liking it even more because I feel like today has been a long day where I earned and deserved a beer. I was leaving my parish this evening and asking myself, oh boy, can I just go right to bed when I go to work, when I get home? See, there's my head. Can I just go right to bed when I get home? I'm so tired. It's been such a long day. Oh, I've got that whole podcast to record. So just a minor thing to do before bed. But that is a great gift. It is a great gift to do a podcast. It is a great gift to this week talk about the television series, the season of Advent. Speaking of the season of Advent, this week's episode and the next 3 weeks worth of episodes are going to be about anticipation in whatever it is that we're talking about. Anticipation is the great theme of Advent. We wait, we watch, we yearn for the Lord's coming, his incarnation, his God, the God, our God made flesh in Christmas, in the second coming as well. And so in light of that great anticipation, we're going to talk about how some things don't live up to that anticipation. Maybe some things do a bit better of a job. This week, though, the topic of anticipation in the television series How I Met Your Mother. I'm shaking my head right now. You can't tell because this is a podcast. It does not live up to the anticipation. I'm just going to ask this question right at the beginning. The only question we're going to ask the whole episode, which is different than normal. Usually we ask lots of questions. We're just going to ask this one question and then get on a rant. What do we anticipate in How I Met Your Mother? Well, thankfully this week, that's a pretty easy answer. We anticipate meeting the mother. And that's why I was kind of blown away when I came back to this show after being away from it for quite some time. Let me tell you a bit about my history with How I Met Your Mother before I try to answer what we anticipate and How I Met Your Mother in a bit more detail. I loved the show when it was brand new. I thought Ted, Marshall, Lily, Robin, and Barney were the penultimate example of friendship and love and relationships, what modern hip young people do. They live in New York City. They go on dates. They strive hard to be successful in business, and they work hard and they play hard. That's what How I Met Your Mother seemed to be about. And I remember it being really funny. I remember it being very groundbreaking in its attempts to tell narrative stories in a non-linear way, with flashbacks and flash forwards and suspense and anticipation in a way sitcoms had yet to be seen. And I don't know if it's because in the last 5 years or so, now the show's only been off the air for 7 years, which is mind-boggling to me. Feels like it's been much longer than that. I don't know if that's because in the last 5 years, though, we have been gifted with some mighty good television. I think I've said in the episode on The Good Place that I really feel that that show has revitalized the situational comedy, the sitcom. The 22 minutes of television that can be filled and overwhelmed and packed with jokes, but also teach us something about ourselves, about the characters, about reality, and do so in a way too that builds a story and builds genuine anticipation. How I Met Your Mother does not do those things. It's barely even about real relationships. It's barely even about real friendships. It's barely about characteristics of people that we should admire. Though I loved the show when it was new, I tried to come back to it a couple years ago and was just blown away by the first season, just how sexist it was, how pathetic the characters were in their drive to not even love one another, but sleep with one another, you know? And it just repulsed me. And I said, I'm too good for this. Now, a few years after that, I realized I'm not too good for it. I'm not too good for anything. I don't know what that says, whether that says I've grown in virtue or lowered in virtue. I'll let the Holy Spirit decide. But I went back to it with a bit more of an open mind, a bit more of a desensitized sense of humor, a bit more of a eagerness to watch a show because I have to come up with content for my podcast. And I found myself to be incredibly disappointed. Still just as sexist as I remembered it. Still just as much about debauchery as I remembered. Real, just disgusting show. Sorry, I don't know. Here's the thing. I was telling some people about this, and they were shocked and upset. They were like, "Oh no, I love How I Met Your Mother. How could you say such a thing about that show? It's my favorite show." I said, "Have you watched it recently?" "No, I just remember it when it was new." Well, watch it again. If you disagree with me, try to watch a couple episodes and tell me it's not sexist. Tell me Barney isn't the embodiment of selfishness. Tell me Ted Mosby isn't pathetic. Tell me Lily and Marshall aren't parodies of what a real relationship looks like. Tell me that Robin Scherbatsky is not even too just a parody of what independent womanhood could look like. And I will tell you, yeah, I know. And if you disagree with me, then I'll say, watch it again because you're still wrong. I don't know. But it's just, I couldn't even get through it. There's the truth. I have not gotten through it. I watched maybe some of season two up until most of season four, and I just got sick of it. I couldn't even start with season one again, though, knowing how much I hated it the last time I tried to come back to it. I was like, okay, maybe it gets better. Maybe it gets a little bit more woke, you know, to use the modern parlance. A little bit more woke. Maybe it understands that sexism isn't the way forward. Maybe it understands that manipulating chicks into sleeping with them isn't the way forward. Maybe there can be character development, you know. Maybe they're supposed to be flawed at the beginning, and they become better people as the series progresses. That's not even true, because then, of course, in the finale, we learn that Robin and Barney, who we've been rooting for this whole time, end up breaking up and getting divorced so that Ted and Robin can hook up again. Ugh. And that way the show's pathetic, you know. It doesn't even try to do new things. It doesn't even try to tell new creative stories. It's just the same thing over and over again. What does this, what do we anticipate in How I Met Your Mother? We anticipate the mother. We anticipate learning something about motherhood. And in a show that builds up 9 seasons of mistreating women. Actually, it turns out I don't care what they say about motherhood. In a show where women are, like the best thing you can say about how Barney treats women, the best thing you can say about how Barney treats women is that he treats them like very stupid people, because actually he just treats them like objects. He keeps a list of the number of people he's slept with, which is like pathetic. I think most people, here's an interesting contrast. I think most people should know exactly who they have slept with in their life and pray for those people. Shouldn't be hard. It should only be one or none. But if it's not, that's okay. Thanks be to God. There's an opportunity for conversion there. You know, there's an opportunity to see where in your life God is calling you to act. And don't be like Barney, where you ignore everything about your pain, where you ignore everything about your deep-rooted, like, parental issues, where you ignore everything about what it is that makes life interesting and worthwhile, which is our growth, our invitation to grow and be challenged. But be a person of integrity, you know? This show tells us that we should wait for motherhood, but shows us men who are pitiful examples of masculinity. This show tells us we should wait for the reveal of a storybook wedding, a storybook fairy tale, predestination kind of predestined relationship between Ted Mosby and Robin Scherbatsky. But simultaneously shows us throughout the series how they don't even care about each other when they're in a relationship with one another or when they're friends. That they want for such different things that you wonder how they could have even fooled themselves into thinking their relationship worked, except for the fact that their brain chemistry was constantly going crazy, spreading feelings of connection and emotion that happened in the midst of that happens because of sex, you know. That's the most, like, the fact that sex releases bodily chemicals, brain chemicals, your brain chemistry changes after sex so that you grow a deeper sense of intimacy with your partner. is simultaneously the greatest gift of the sexual act and the thing which is manipulated and destroyed the most in the modern world's obsession with eroticism and not intimacy. That's what I've just realized. That's the epiphany. Not, I mean, I've known that a while, but I haven't now been able to express it before on this podcast. And so now I get to talk about it and How I Met Your Mother. Ted and Robin, Barney and all the women he sleeps with, even Lillian Marshall, who, like I said, become a parody of what a real relationship looks like. They feel close with one another. There is a sense of intimacy there, but mostly that intimacy is artificial. Mostly that intimacy comes from a desire to just have more sex. That intimacy comes from a desire for temporary erotic pleasure and not real emotional, sexual, physical intimacy. Like, this is what the world doesn't realize. That, and so you're welcome for tuning in. This is what the world doesn't realize. For this great insight, you're welcome. The sexual act is more than something physical. The sexual act is even something more than spiritual. Because the sexual act is both physical and spiritual. The sexual act is both an expression of physical yearning and physical giving, and spiritual yearning and spiritual giving, as well as physical and spiritual yearning and receiving. You know, in very concrete ways, the man gives and the woman receives. But the sexual act is so profound that even the man receives and the woman gives. And to see it made light of in a show, just to see it made light of, you know, maybe this is a rant beyond How I Met Your Mother now. To see it made light of is a real tragedy in the world. That if we understood more deeply the gift of sex, how much more deeply would we understand the gift of humanity? We understood more deeply the gift of humanity, how much more deeply we would value the lives of the vulnerable and the oppressed. If we valued the lives of the vulnerable and the oppressed, how much more deeply would we live our Christian call? The call of the Beatitudes, you know. Blessed are the meek. Because we would realize that we are the vulnerable, that we are the oppressed. And in realizing that, make our hearts, open our hearts even more fully to receiving the Lord and living our lives in a grace-centered way to even more fully give the Lord to those we meet. But instead, we watch stupid sitcoms that belittle motherhood, that belittle masculinity and femininity. Here's an example of just a really bad joke. Somewhere around season 3. Mandy Moore. I remember it because Mandy Moore guest starred. And Mandy Moore's character was infatuated with Ted, who had just gotten out of a breakup, or out of a relationship and then just broken up, which is basically every other episode in that show, by the way. Speaking of not being groundbreaking or innovative at all in its episodes. And they're hooking up and just happy to hook up. But Barney really wants to be a wingman. And the pretty girl played by Mandy Moore is like, it's fine. We'll get him a hookup, you know? And instead of like the friend being a wingman for Mandy Moore and just being like the stereotypical wingman kind of jumps on a grenade for the hookup, right? But instead of this woman like making a sacrifice and realizing what a chump Barney is, but being like a wingman for her friend, it doesn't even understand that women enough that like the joke becomes that this woman wants so badly to sleep with Barney, but Barney just wants to like still just be a wingman. You know, it's like, why can't, where's the joke should be that this girl is doing everything she can to be a wingman. You know, I don't know. I probably didn't explain that fresh joke that much, that well. But my point is that women aren't even three-dimensional, you know? Like, the women just serve to empower the men's actions, which is exactly what, like, feminists mean when they say that men are sexist and that modern media is sexist, you know? And the show is only 7 years old. I just boggled my mind when I realized that. In less than a decade... Maybe our modern landscape has changed so much that me, the broken Father Parker, can realize what a sexist reality, what a sexist, terrible show How I Met Your Mother is. Here we go. You might have noticed that this isn't a very well-organized episode of the podcast so far. In part because of the fact that I was leaving the church this evening and forgot that I had to record the podcast, in part because I didn't want to put any effort into this show that I couldn't even get through, but I despised, but had kind of committed in my head to doing it anyway. But I have good news. I have found a BuzzFeed article called 24 Times How I Met Your Mother Was Really Beeping Problematic. And I'm going to go through these 24 times and agree. Number one, the effed up treatment of women throughout the show. Yup. Number two, Lily and Robin constantly slut shaming other women. Yeah, they're both sleeping around a lot. I mean, I guess Lily isn't, you know, but like even Lily objectifies women, you know, and men, but like sees them just as objects for sexual gratification. And rather than that making sexism okay because women do it too, it's a reminder that we all are called to live virtuously. Ted making Robin get rid of her dogs because they reminded him of her exes? Yeah, oh my gosh, that was troublesome to say the least. As if we're supposed to give and make sacrifices, you know? And so it's good that Robin made sacrifices, but where was Ted's sacrifice, especially when it came to like living beings? Barney's behavior bordering on and sometimes actually being sexual assault. Yeah, in like our modern world, in our modern understanding of sexual assault, even at best, like Barney's kind of deceptive behavior could be seen as sexist and masochist, but also like when he lies to women and has them sleep with him on the foundation of a lie, a promise for something to happen in the future with no intent on delivering that or even no desire to deliver on that, like that's, like, some people would call that rape. And so Barney is out there just making light of that. And his friends are doing the same. The treatment of Patrice. I don't remember who Patrice is. In fact, the show's general treatment of overweight people generally. Oh, I guess I imagine Patrice is fat. The whole ducky tie debacle. Oh, okay, I don't remember that one, but I was just like, I had gazed upon the on the title of the next one, Everything About the Naked Man episode. Yeah, if you're not familiar, this is an episode where the premise of how one of the guys, one random guy, gets women to sleep with him is by just being naked when they get back from the bathroom, or being naked when they get back from getting him a bus ticket or something like that. That's how he propositions women, is just getting naked in front of them, and that's made lightly of. The playbook, number nine, the playbook episode being women, blaming women for being manipulated into sex. Yeah, as if it's women's fault when they're manipulated. The disparity between the male and female characters' jobs. That's a good point that I hadn't considered. Lily is a kindergarten teacher. Robin's professional career in journalism is often made a joke of, but Barney and Marshall are like top architects and lawyers. Barney and Ted, I guess. Marshall and Ted, I mean to say. But and then Barney does some crazy corporate hierarchy too. And they're both seen, and those three are seen as like winning in the jokes of their career. That their jokes that their careers are a joke is seen as like a sign of success. But Lily and Marshall, it's been a long day, you guys. Thank you for being patient with me in this podcast. Lily and Robin, the joke, the fact that their careers are a joke, is seen as like their own fault, seen as their own ability to like work harder, you know. It's okay for men to not work hard because they're justified, but women have to work hard, kind of thing. Number 11, all the sexual double standards between male and female characters. Yeah, I said, I talked about that. Number 12, Robin getting shit on for not wanting kids and the handling of her infertility diagnosis. Well, I don't remember the latter, but I'd say generally too, it is okay for people not to want to have children. You know, we'd have to be open to life. It's okay to not want to have children. Not necessarily married people to not want to have children, but even if they don't, as long as they're open to life, there's probably nothing inherently sinful about that, you know, if they're open to life, as well as her character arc generally. Yeah, I guess that's my problem with Robin, right? 14, Ted always refusing to take no for an answer. Yeah, because Ted's kind of creepy. Number 15, Robin's relationship with her dad being treated as a joke. That's right. Robin's relationship with her dad is so problematic and explains why she has such problematic relationships with men. But again, it's just all just a joke. 16, the recurring character of Ranjit. Yeah, which was hilarious in 2007 when I didn't understand how racist it was. Great point. Who knew BuzzFeed was full of such woke wisdom? Maybe probably more people. And when the characters dressed up as Chinese characters, what? Racial appropriation makes me cringe. Chinese culture is not a costume, and they missed an awesome opportunity to add some diversity to the show before it ended. I don't even remember that. Transphobic comments, yeah, like every show before 2019, doesn't make it okay. All of the homophobic comments. Yeah, it like in that sense reminded me of Friends, which like at least Friends had the advantage of like ending when this show started, you know, but it's still just as homophobic. The treatment of lesbianism. Yeah, because we're always afraid of male homosexuals, but aroused by female homosexuals. Robin dating her therapist. Man, it's a good thing I didn't finish watching this show because I was like, maybe I should just keep watching because maybe it gets less problematic and therefore will be easier for me to talk to on the talk about on the podcast. I can just ignore all the problematic things. But here are all these things that are problematic that happen late in the season, the further along we go. Everything about Barney's mermaid theory. Has a mermaid clock the time it takes for you to realize you want to bone her? This is the theory that a man will eventually want to sleep with any woman. Okay. No matter how initially repugnant she is. Well, that's a little offensive. By a little, I mean a lot. Like the social. The hot crazy scale. Yeah. Which is, again, an example of Barney's objectification of women. Oh, thank goodness. And finally, we're at number. This is a list of 24. We're at number 24. And finally, the fact that Barney once sold a woman. When Barney says that, I'm pretty sure I once sold a woman, but it just gets glossed over like that. It's a comedy, and most things Barney says I can look past, but that one always gets me. See, this is what I mean about the world. This person can realize the problematic nature of Barney selling a woman and acknowledge that there's other problematic things he says, but it but it's okay because it's a comedy and I can look past it. That's not actually acceptable. You know, there's a difference between a joke that pushes boundaries and a joke that like promulgates hatred and misogynistic, sexist views. And How I Met Your Mother does not do that well. Okay, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. This is the first of the Advent series where we're going to talk about anticipation. If this episode scared you off, I completely understand. Next week's episode is going to be much better because we're talking about, again, the first repeat of the podcast. We're going to talk again about Calvary, the film Calvary, which is... I'm just so grateful I watched it again for the podcast because I've watched it probably like six times since... Once a month, more than once a month since watching it. And it just, every time it blows me away. And I get to talk about it again next week. We're going to talk about what do we anticipate in Calvary? What's there to anticipate in Calvary? And there's lots to anticipate. We're going to touch on new stuff that we didn't have time to talk about in the last episode about Calvary. If you've got questions about Calvary that I didn't answer in the last podcast, find the podcast on Facebook and send me a message. Facebook.com/ColdDrinksPodcast. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Father Parker CQC, FRPARKERCQC. I also think that you should review this podcast, hopefully with a high rating. Not indicative of the quality of this episode. Or if you really like this episode, then indicative of the quality of this episode. Whatever. In the meantime, take care, everybody. God bless. It's a pun on whatever word it sounds like. Anyway.